With regard to the creation, the Bible is a book about beginnings and endings. In this world, every life has a beginning and an ending. Whether it is human life, or animal life, or plant life. The world itself had a beginning, and will most definitely have an ending. When we come to the last day of the year, and contemplate the first day of the new year that will come tomorrow, we understand something of the inevitability of life cycles. As this year ends, the body of our country's 38th president, Gerald R. Ford, lies in state in the Capitol building in Washington. By the world's standards, he had a very long life. But last Tuesday, after more than 93 years, his life in this world came to its end. As this year ends, one of the world's most notorious and barbarous men, the Butcher of Baghdad, as he has been called, Saddam Hussein, has been put to death and buried in what is, from some reports, an unmarked grave in his hometown. He had delusions of being the second coming of Nebuchadnezzar, but learned painfully what that ancient king of Babylon learned, that those who walk in pride, God is able to abase. His life in this world is now ended. The language of our text is taken from agriculture. Those who operate farms know the predictable cycle of plowing and planting and harvesting. Every year, their time is marked by those events. And as long as they are engaged in those events and waiting for the harvest, they must not be very far from the tending of their crops. That's why not many farmers ever take vacations when other people are taking them. But when the harvest is over, there is no more prospect of anything else being achieved in that year. The inspired prophet used that cycle and the unerring certainty of it to underscore solemn truths in the spiritual realm. There comes a time when harvest is over. There comes a time when the good grain has been gathered into the barn. There comes a time when everything else has been gathered up and burned in the fire. For the prophet Jeremiah, in the midst of a nation that was sliding toward its final collapse, this text was the expression of great sorrow. After all, the blessings of Jehovah were upon the land. After all the ways in which God had showed his mercy to the people of Judah, the people, as we have read in this chapter, remained unrepentant. They would not turn away from their sin. And so they secured for themselves their ultimate doom. They were not saved. The entreaties of the prophet had fallen on deaf ears. The calls of God through the prophet had been ignored and even ridiculed. The word of God was the subject of curiosity while at the same time having no real impact on the lives of the people. Everything in which they put their confidence turned to ashes. Not even in their walled cities, as we have read, could they feel at ease. And the sense of impending devastation at the hands of the Babylonians filled the people with terror. There was no comfort. And even the prophet himself felt the sense of desolation that coursed through the land. In this text of Scripture, he presented the depths of the tragedy. The judgment that was to fall on the people was not because God had not urged them to turn aside from their wicked ways. He had done so repeatedly. It was not because they had not had numerous occasions when they could have repented. The tragedy was simply they never believed that their time would run out. Is that tragedy not like that of so many sinners in the world today? They see the ending of the year and the beginning of another happen repeatedly. But they do not make use of the time in those years to turn away from their sins and to trust in Christ. Salvation is there. It is the path to ultimate blessing. And the call of the gospel is there to repent and to believe on Jesus Christ. But they just don't do it. The time elapses. The year ends. Another year ends. Another year ends. And then life ends. And still they are unrepentant. It could be that I am describing someone in this gathering today. It is the last day of the year. And you know that you are still not saved. You know that if your life in this world were to end right now, you would be in hell. You have heard the gospel entreaties on many occasions, but still you are not saved. Why? Why are you still not saved? The text is clear that there is coming an ending that will end them all. Will you still be not saved then? The end of the year is the time for organizations to assemble and issue annual reports on their business for the year. In the early months of each year, our church officers are engaged in preparing their summaries of what has occurred during the previous year in the church's ministry. When we come to the words of this text, we come to such a report. And here is its title, Year End Report. Lost. This simple text of Scripture has always been striking to me for its poetic rhythms that our translators have captured so effectively. The harvest is over. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. It's a text on which gospel preachers have often spoken. I was just doing a survey yesterday in sermon audio, the number of times this text appears as a text of a sermon on that site, and there are many, many such sermons. It's, of course, a favorite text for four sermons delivered at harvest time. But the last clause in this text is one of the most mournful that is to be found anywhere in the sacred scriptures. It is a statement of woe, of the most doleful reality. After all this time, still we are not saved. After another year, still we are not saved. After more occasions when you have had exposure to the Word of God and to the call of the gospel, still you are not saved. Are you banking on another year? Do you presume that you will still be alive and will still be going and that the world will still be going when another year is over? To be lost at the end of the year is to face the prospect that you will be lost forever. Because that which people are in time, they will be forever. Years ago, I heard that statement. It's never left me. If you're saved now, you'll be saved forever. If you come to the end of time and you're not saved, you will never be saved. Thankfully, there are those in this gathering today who are saved. That is a good gospel word. There are people here who are not resting in some kind of assent to the statements of Orthodox doctrine. As important as those statements are, and as important as assent to those statements is, mere doctrinal orthodoxy is not enough to deliver you from your sins. There are people here who have heard the gospel. And they have heard the call of the gospel, and they have received Jesus Christ by faith as he is offered in the gospel. When will you do the same? If today you are not saved. Perhaps you've grown up in the church or in a Christian family. You have heard often the pleas of gospel preachers. Yet unless things change, you know that when this year ends in a few hours, you will still be lost. Well, there's still time for you. See that you make use of it. There are three simple statements that form the exposition of our text today. First, opportunity passes. The harvest is past and the summer is ended, we read in our text. There is a time for working in the field. There is a time for planting and cultivating and harvesting. And so there is an opportunity for you to receive Christ and to be saved. When is that opportunity? It is now. It is now. It is today. Yes, even today, even on the last day of the year, there is that opportunity. The emphasis of Scripture is on the opportunity that you have now, that you have today. Let's turn to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And let us look at verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. That's a striking text in itself. Paul was beseeching the Corinthians that they not hear the gospel, that they not receive the grace of God in vain. Verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. Now is the day for you to receive Christ. Now is the day for you to act upon the benefits that have been given you through the grace of God and to receive Christ. Now, when we hear that appeal, here is the reasoning that your own depraved soul will concoct. There's plenty of time. The preacher's being overly dramatic. And he's expected to be that way, so you can understand. After all, you're still young. However old you are, the depraved soul makes you believe you're still young. You have plenty of time to become a Christian if you ever decide later that that's something you want to do. You don't have to be concerned about it now. So ignore the preacher. Ignore the entreaty to believe on Christ. Ignore the entreaty to profess Christ publicly, to identify yourself with Christ. There's plenty of time. But the language of Holy Scripture is adamant on this point. Let us turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And let's look at verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Today, listen to the voice of God. Do you know what happens when you ignore the preaching of the gospel? Do you know what happens when you hear the entreaty of the gospel and you just go away? You harden your hearts against the truth. That's what you're doing. And you are still not saved. You have the opportunity now to repent and to believe. You have the opportunity now to be saved. But as surely as the year of 2006 is nearing its end, your day of opportunity is nearing its end. You can't tell how much longer it will be there. The people of Judah could not tell how much longer they would have before Jerusalem would fall. But you know what? In spite of the dire circumstances, you know what they thought? There's no danger. Oh, yeah, there's a foreign policy problem that we have to deal with, but there's no imminent danger. I mean, here we have this man, Jeremiah, over here. He's ranting and raving about the collapse of the kingdom and trying to discourage the people. But really, we're assured by our leaders, there's no imminent danger. But there was. There was. They were in imminent danger. There are many people who began this year with the confidence that they would be around for this final day. They felt well. Some of them were young, and they assumed that life stretched out before them. But on this final day of the year, they are not in the world anymore. But by the grace and mercy of God, you are. But will your opportunity still be there when the next year ends? Your time is here now. Your opportunity is here now. Today it is here. Today. But when the end comes, your opportunity is over. When the harvest is past and the summer has ended and you are still not saved, there will be no more opportunity. Let us turn to a most sobering portion that we find in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Luke 13 and verse 23. And we're going to look at another portion in Luke's gospel as well. So you may want to keep your finger in there. Luke 13 and verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then ye shall begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. What an awful scene is being depicted here. The end has come. It's the end. The door's been shut. And here were many who had opportunity and who did not avail themselves of it. And they're knocking on the door. Lord, open to us now. How many young people in the church will be in that crowd? They heard the word of the gospel. They had opportunity. But then the end comes and they're knocking at the door. Lord, we grew up in the church. Lord, we sat under the word of the gospel. But we didn't care about it then. We were just drifting along through life. And now they said, Lord, we were there. And what will the Lord say to them? I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And they will see others that did not have their privileges, did not have their opportunities. They'll see them in the kingdom of God and they'll be thrust out. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. The Lord Jesus spoke of Jerusalem in just such a context in chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 42. In verse 41 we read the words, When he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Oh, what an awful thing Jesus was saying, if you had known, if you had known, in the time when you had the opportunity, if you had known, if you had taken advantage of the opportunity, but that time is over now, he said. Those things are hid from your eyes. You did not know the time of your visitation. How many people have grown up in the church and they do not realize their time of opportunity. They take it for granted and they drift along through life and then they drift out into the world and then the end comes. I wonder if there are going to be some here of whom the Lord's words will be applicable. Drifting along. The years passing by. One year ends, another year begins. You go through that year ends, another year begins. And you're drifting along through life. And still, in spite of every entreaty, you have not availed yourself of the opportunity to trust in Christ. I tell you, it is appalling to consider that. It's the time of your visitation. And when that day ends, there will be no more opportunity. And I fear that I am standing here today speaking and giving a gospel entreaty to people who are going to be in the crowd of those saying, Lord, open to us now. And he will say to them, you are workers of iniquity. Get out of my sight. It's here now. But it's passing away. Make use of the opportunity while you have it. But the text reminds us as well that there is still a voice to be heard. And that's the second thing that I would have you to see. Christ calls. What grace is there? Christ calls. What did he say? He said he did not come into the world to call the righteous, but that he came to call sinners to repentance. He's doing that now. He's doing that now through the proclamation of the word. He is calling sinners to repentance. And this statement we have by implication in our text today, God is calling you. It's the last day of the year, and God is calling to you. You need to listen to what God is calling you to do. He is calling you to embrace Christ by faith. He is calling you to receive Christ. The sure sign of the new birth, a lot of people talk about what's the evidence of the new birth. You know what the sure sign is? You receive Christ by faith. Have you been born again? Matthew Henry put it well when he wrote concerning this passage, as salvation only can be found in the Lord, so the present moment should be seized. Let us turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. And verse 10, speaking of the Lord Jesus, the true light. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What is it to receive Christ? It is defined in verse 12. It is to believe on his name. It is to rest upon him and upon him alone for salvation. Now the reasoning of the depraved soul is that you should wait until you have the feeling that you have been regenerated. You should wait until you have some evidence that you have been elected. And then you can come to Christ for salvation. That is the devil's language. That is not what Christ is calling you to do. He is not asking you to determine if you've been born again or not. He is not asking you to determine if you're among the elect or not. He is asking you to do one thing, repent and believe. That's it. And that is what you must do if you would reach glory. And you must do it today. You must do it without delay. We read in the context of the balm in Gilead. The prophet's wondering, is there a balm in Gilead? Is there some healing in Gilead? There is. But only in obedience to the call of Christ. You find that balm, that comfort, that healing, that deliverance only in receiving Christ. There is only one way of salvation. Is the report on you at the end of this year going to be that you are still not saved? Is that the report that's going to be distributed in heaven regarding you? Still lost? Still not saved? Christ is calling you today. Hear the call now and don't be like those of whom we read. At the end of our text, that's the third thing, sinners miscarry. Opportunity passes. Christ calls. Sinners miscarry. We are not saved. Do you know what? Here is the true expression of the vaunted free will of the human heart. I must say I get a little bit perturbed when I hear people talking about the free will. Where is man's free will? If God has foreordained things, well, the fact is, here's the expression of man's free will. They will not come to Christ. And so they are not saved. You see, the depraved reasoning, and I dare say this reasoning takes root in every unconverted soul at some point, people are not saved because God has failed. God has failed. There's something that God should have done that He hasn't done. God has not wanted them enough. God has not given them enough opportunity. We need to hear the words today of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, Matthew 23, and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. There's the free will of man. Christ said, I would. They said, we will not. Apart from the grace of God, there is all you're going to have from the free will of man. I would have gathered them. Ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Sinners miscarry. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. Opportunity is over. They're not saved. The end of the year is at hand. It grieves me to think that there are people here who will come to the end of this year and you will write on their year-end report, lost. We are not saved. waiting permission from somebody or something, I don't know what. But here is the call of Christ. Come to Christ today. Don't harden your heart. Don't act as though it doesn't apply to you. Don't act as though somehow you will just continue drifting along. And the years will pass by and somehow or ever it'll work out. If you're not saved today, today is the day. Turn to Christ this very hour. Receive Christ by faith. Turn away from your sin and all the ideas that you have concocted in your own mind. Throw those all away and say, I am a sinner. I am the worst sinner there is. I need the mercy of God. Cast yourself on the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. So that when the door is closed, life is ended, and your body is taken to be put into the ground, that it will be said, here is one who embraced Christ. He is saved. Be saved today. That's the note on which we end. If there's the tragedy in Jeremiah's time that there were many who were not saved, there is hope still for you in this time. Today is the day. Be saved today.